For our scripture, would you turn to Luke chapter 17. Familiar passage, I think, to most of us. Luke 17, I will begin reading at verse 11, continuing through verse 19. We have God's word as follows. And it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. That is Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And Jesus said unto him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." May God bless this reading of his holy word. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, when little children are just learning to talk, it can be very precious and also fascinating, heartwarming. When your child is at that stage, you listen very carefully. You listen eagerly for that first word. What's it going to be? No. Often children learn the negative word first. Perhaps that's indicative of our fallen nature in some respects. Or will that first word be a form of daddy or mommy? Parents, of course, develop the ability to hear the words of their children, the words that their children say that no one else can recognize. A child makes some kind of sound or another, and the mother would say, oh, that means water. And you kind of grin and you just sort of take her word for it. Grandparents too listen carefully to the words that their grandchildren speak as they are learning to talk. They are delighted. They are delighted when their grandchildren say something that comes close to grandma or grandpa. At first it's usually sort of like gamma or pop or some such variation. But that's good enough. It's close enough to warm a grandparent's heart. It's exciting too when children begin to grasp the concept behind their words. For example, when a favorite toy is left behind after visiting grandma or grandpa and grandma's place, and you say, don't forget your toy, and you hand it over, and the child reaches out and says, "Thank you, grandma." And that's progress. That's progress when a little child not only knows the word thank you, but knows exactly too a situation in which it should be used. And then there are other words. There are other words that go along with thank you. Such words as please and you're welcome. And, you know, it's heartwarming to hear our children and our grandchildren learn and use these words. A lot of development is required before a little person learns about words like these. Not only must he or she learn the words themselves, but the child must begin learning some of the basic elements of human experience. People don't say please unless they know something about private property. Or they have a sense of dependence on others. People don't say you're welcome unless they have a little bit of generosity. And you cannot say thank you unless you know something about gratitude. About gratitude. Now, we have just observed the season of the year that we know as Thanksgiving. And, of course, that's a feeling in the air, I guess, or something to that effect. It's time. It's that time of the year, you know, when people take a few moments, few hours, to be thankful. Thanksgiving Day has a rich tradition in North America. Every year we set aside a specific day. You know, the president, notice how he observed it. He pardoned those turkeys. Huh? But every year we set aside a specific day then to remember the bountiful gifts that we've received. And surely we do receive abundant blessings in our part of the world. Let's be honest, truthful. This year there have been no continent-wide droughts to weaken our harvests. Oh, there have been tragedies. There have been terrible fires. And there's always those areas, of course, in the world that are subject to that. They get less rain, much less rain than they like. But in general, if you look over our country, the harvests have again been abundant. In addition, millions of people have been employed. I think the president is always bragging about the low unemployment rate, isn't he? So certainly, you know, there's something to be thankful for, no doubt. Now, I realize that, you know, not all people have abundance. They do not have, you know, all that maybe they would like. But when we compare our lives, when we compare our lives to those people that live in many other parts of the world, areas that have been plagued by famine, by political unrest, by political strife, murder, slaughter, we know that we've got a lot to be thankful for. So certainly, you know, we ought to be like that little child who has learned when to use the word thank you. But whom do we thank? The little child, of course, thanks for the toy. We thank one another when we do nice things for one another. And at this time of National Thanksgiving, however, what do? Who do we thank? Well, we know, of course, that it's appropriate to thank God for the many blessings that we receive. But how do we do that? Send him a card? Roll our eyes heavenward and say, thank you, God. What about those who are not sure about God? Should they thank Him anyway? Remember, this is a time of national thanksgiving. Now, we can understand why church people, you know, would thank God. But what about the people? What about the people that are at the bar? What about those who roar through various towns on their Harleys? What about that millionaire? Hasn't set a foot in church for decades. Now, all are supposed to be thankful. But how can such a mixed group of people be that way? After all, you cannot be grateful simply at someone else's command. Gratitude is after all an emotion. And an emotion that you know wells up inside you when only certain conditions exist in your life. And of course, there are some who really don't have very much to be thankful for right now. Huh? Some are out of a job. Some are in a hospital. Some are in prison. Some have recently perhaps experienced bereavement. Very sad right now. But even so, at this time of the year, we all feel there must be something in our lives that we can be thankful for. Even if conditions in our own lives may not be exactly what we want them to be, we should be thankful for the blessings that have come to our nation. And there are certainly many of those. And once we set our minds to it, most of us can overcome the problem of not having much to be thankful for. Count your many blessings. But how can people thank God when there is little agreement about who God is? How can people thank God when most of their lives are so arranged that God is excluded? Isn't He excluded from much of our business world? From our government? From our education? As a result, the citizens of our land, a good many of them, have no idea about God. How can you thank God then about whom you are not sure of? A God whom, you know, you really know nothing about. Now, as real knowledge, as true knowledge of God gradually vanishes, gratitude will diminish as well. And I think that we are seeing the results of that today in our nation. Because it's so hard to be thankful to a God whom you know very little about, thanksgiving at this time of the year becomes for some people little more than some vague, warm feeling that lasts as long as someone says grace over a Thanksgiving Day spread. Well, enough. We are all familiar with the episode that occurred during Jesus' earthly ministry. Involves nine men. Nine men who suddenly had every reason to be grateful, but who couldn't bring themselves to express gratitude. You just kind of rehearse our scripture again. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when Jesus saw them, he says, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asks, "Were not all 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now Jesus is trying to teach something here. He knows what the situation is because he knows all things. But he goes on, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this Samaritan, this foreigner?" And then Jesus says to him, "Arise, go. Your faith has made you well." 9 ingrates who received a gift that they never in their wildest dreams thought they would receive. And when they came to Jesus, they didn't even ask him to heal them. After all, their disease was incurable. They had leprosy. Jesus' response to their coming had been astonishing, for he had told them to go to the priests. And in that day, lepers didn't go to the priests unless they had been healed. They looked at their skin, at their misshapen fingers and toes, and felt the swelling over their eyebrows. Nothing had changed. Why should they go to the priest, who was supposed to verify the healing and certify that they could re-enter the company of healthy people? But they went anyway. And as they made their way to the priest, they were healed. But 9 of them didn't thank Jesus. Only 1 of them did. Perhaps not all that unusual. There are many who have had what we call good fortune during the year and yet have forgotten to thank God for it. And of course, there are some who have been richly blessed, but have simply concluded that that came about because they were very smart, or because of their technological abilities, or because it couldn't have happened, of course, to what they think is a nicer person. Anyway, when we read this portion from Scripture, we read Romans or Luke 17, we see a picture that is very relevant then to the way it is today. Now, is there any way to overcome this tendency to be like those 9 who were ungrateful? Is there any way to be like that man who returned praising God and who fell at the knees of Jesus to thank him? Yeah, there is a way. Notice there was something different about the man who thanked Jesus. The man was absolutely impressed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have been deeply impressed in a way that was different from those other 9. Now surely, you know, they also took Jesus seriously. They had heard of Jesus' reputation for healing. And when Jesus told them to go to the priest, they went, even though they were not yet healed. The man who returned, however, to Jesus had much the same feelings regarding Jesus that the others had, but his must have been deeper. When he was healed, the connection the connection between this miraculous healing and the person who had healed him was clearly perceived. And he immediately wanted to return to Jesus to thank him for what he had done. He praised God and thanked Jesus. For he apparently believed that Jesus was God. And beloved, right here we see what is the key factor in thanksgiving to God. We've got to move away from the ideas about God that are burdened with philosophy and abstract theology. And we must think about Jesus Christ when we think about God. In this season of thanksgiving, we should confess that Jesus is God in the flesh. And so we should say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." There are groups of Christians who characteristically thank God with these words. They say, "Thank you, Jesus." Maybe very frequently, sometimes to the point maybe of tediousness. But though some Christians say this often, most of us, beloved, let's be honest, most of us don't say that enough. Thank you, Jesus. Many families gather together for a special meal on Thanksgiving Day, and some families sitting down together for a meal is an unusual event because everyone is busy. And family members meet only as they pass each other on the way in and out of the house. But usually because they are busy, the family members, of course, they have not time to pray. But Thanksgiving Day, that's somewhat different. It's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day. And so who will pray? Sometimes the husband will ask his wife to pray. After all, to many people, women seem more connected spiritually than connected with religion and prayer than macho men do. Or perhaps the father will ask, a young child, or the grandfather may ask a grandchild to say thank you to God for all the blessings. But what really has to happen, though, if thanksgiving is to be real and heartfelt for all involved, is that those who celebrate Thanksgiving Day say thanks together to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We may say this. We should say that. Think about it. First, we should say thank you because Jesus Christ of Nazareth enables us to think about God. To think about God in the way that we should think about Him. It's very hard to thank a God whom we know nothing about, or some generic God whom we think is somewhere beyond the ceiling of this room. God. What's the meaning of that word? Actually, to most people, the word God means nothing. Or if it means anything, it refers to some massive, luminous, vague spirit. They know there is a God of sorts, and they want to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day, and they collect a few nice sounding words, and they look solemn for a few moments, but that's quickly disappears. But when you say thank you, Jesus, you understand the concept of God in an entirely different light. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God, that He is God in the flesh. He was actually here among us. He was a real human being, a man whose feet left footprints in the dust, whose hands and arms showed evidence of the carpenter's trade that he had learned in his father's shop. His beard grew, and his fingernails grew, and his eyes sometimes sent tears rolling down his cheeks. He ate fish and bread with his disciples, even after he rose from the dead. And he went about doing good and healing the sick, even those afflicted with leprosy. You see, beloved, Jesus is also God. That's what we have to think about. An angel from heaven announced this marvelous truth to Mary, his mother, before he was born. Luke 1:35 reports the angel's message to Mary this way, and it's familiar words. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Just remember that. Let us think of Jesus. Think about Jesus when we think about God. You know, a lot of people say they believe in some kind of God, but they don't think Jesus is really God. They just think, well, Jesus is just a manifestation, one of the many manifestations of religion. But the Bible says clearly that Jesus Christ is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. And when the lepers came back and thanked Jesus for the healing he had received, Jesus told him that it was his faith that had made him well. And what did that mean? The other nine were healed of leprosy too, weren't they? Well, the truth, of course, there is that they were healed only physically. The man who came back and praised God and thanked Jesus was healed totally. Not only physically, but spiritually. And his entire life was made whole through the salvation that Jesus gives those who believe in him. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to see that the man who returned to thank Jesus, and with this I'll close, encouraging to see that the man who returned to thank Jesus was a Samaritan. The Jews despised Samaritans because of the corrupt religion they followed. You see, as far as the Jews were concerned, there were only two kinds of people: Jews and non-Jews, or Gentiles. And to the Jews, the Samaritans were Gentiles, unclean people who did not believe in or serve the true God. The Jews believed that only Jews could inherit the kingdom of God. But you see, Christ changed all that. And the good news of salvation through Christ is that it's for all people, Jews and non-Jews alike. And this is really good news, beloved, for us. Because I dare say most of us are Gentiles. Well, the Samaritan was a Gentile who saw how important Jesus was. And so he said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you." So let's join him. Let's join him in our thankfulness. This time of the year, but all through the year, knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we have been given the gift of faith by which we know your Son Jesus. That we know that he too is truly God as well as man. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that we come to you through him. That he, O God, is the one who has made atonement for our sins. Help us never forget that. Help us to always, O God, when we talk about you and when we thank you, to thank Jesus. And thus we end our prayer to you, O Father, that you will, and ask you to hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.